You have your Bible with you. Would you take it out, please, and turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. We'll begin reading in verse 14 here in just a moment. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 14 here in just a second. Thank you, Matthew, for leading us in those songs. I know you didn't know this, and for that reason did not do it on purpose, but those three songs were all kind of formative songs for me when I first became a Christian. And so that was a very helpful bit of worship for me. So thank you for leading us in those. We'll be in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 14 here in just a moment. Did you know that there was a Taiwanese woman named Gigi Wu who called herself the bikini climber, who climbed dangerous mountains wearing only the aforementioned skimpy swimsuit all over the world? It sounds like the beginning of a bad joke, but it's actually true. What do you think happened to Gigi Wu? She froze to death on a climb just this past January. Now, I don't mean to be flippant about someone's death, but what exactly did she expect to happen climbing these mountains with nothing or very little on? She was not properly equipped for the climbs that she was making. And she paid the ultimate price for not being equipped in the way she should have been. Equipped. That's what we want to be. That's what we want to be as individual Christians. That's what we want to be as individuals by God to face the attacks of the devil. As children, by our parents, as we go out and face the world on our own, we want to be equipped by them. As a church, as we strive to grow in unity unto Christ, we want to be equipped to do that. Properly equipped for what we know we will face as Christians, as parents, as children, and as a local church. So we will be able to stand and overcome no matter what the world and the devil throws our way. We want to be equipped. And this concept of being equipped is found repeatedly in both the Old and New Testaments, passages where God is equipping us to face challenges and temptations and spiritual warfare that confronts us. And though that thought of being equipped unto all of these things is found throughout the Bible, that word in English is specifically used in four New Testament verses in three different passages. And so I'm going to read those three passages to all of us this evening with minimal comment, beginning in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 14. But as for you, Paul says to Timothy, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, the scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent. Perfect, maybe your translation says. Complete, others say. Equipped for every good work. Timothy was equipped by the Word of God, and so we can be too for every good work. And that began with the work his mother and grandmother did in equipping him in those things and making him familiar with those things. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4 now, if you would please. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 11. We see this same idea and word in English of equipped used in regard to us as a local congregation. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 11. And he gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head of the body, unto Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. God saw that we had different roles so that we might be equipped for these different things. And when every part does what it's supposed to do, the body then is equipped to be what it is called to be in Jesus Christ. And then finally turn to Hebrews chapter 13, if you would. Hebrews chapter 13, beginning in verse 20. Here is the closing benediction, if you maybe your translation has that heading there. He's giving this final note of praise at the close of this book, the Hebrew writer is. And in verse 20, he says, "Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do His will, working in us that which is pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." Amen and amen to what the Hebrew writer says there. How awesome would it be if we could accomplish everything that is found in these three passages, if we could be equipped in that way, for God to equip us through His Word to accomplish all of His purposes in faith and love and hope and unity with one another. That is not some utopian ideal. That's possible. It's possible here. It's possible wherever the Lord's people are gathered, because God has given us everything that we need to be equipped unto every good work that He has placed before us. So, the question that begs to be asked is, how are we going to help each other to do that? How are we going to help one another to be equipped? Well, we're going to talk about one way that the elders believe, and I believe, and many of you already believe, that we can help each other and our children to be equipped for every good work. A change in our Bible class curriculum. You know, this effort really got its start when it was suggested over a year ago, and then the elders discussed in length at several different meetings, that putting together a curriculum where all the classes, starting at a certain level, could be studying the same thing on Sunday mornings. And this was with the intention of allowing parents to have both their classes as adults and their children's classes on the same topic, promoting biblical discussion and making study at home that much easier. And when we had our parent workshop meetings at the end of last year, this was one of the items that was discussed there. And there was a consensus among the parents gathered that this would be a helpful endeavor for us to go into together. So the elders put together some goals for this project. And if you have one of the handouts, I'd ask you to get that out at this time. The elders identified a couple of verses that are powerful as it relates to raising our children. 3 John in verse 4, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." And Romans 10 in verse 17, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." And from the elders, here are the objectives that they had for this curriculum. Give opportunities for families to study at home together, because all ages are studying the same things. Teach the whole counsel of God. Develop a greater understanding of the accounts in the Scriptures. Grasp how individual events fit in the overall picture of the Bible plan of salvation. Emphasize how the Bible applies to us. What does God want us to get out of this section of Scripture? Give opportunity for all saints to be thoroughly equipped unto every good work. And equip all saints specifically for their roles as Christians and in the church. And then they give some thoughts and suggestions for the curriculum, and we've tried to implement all of those thoughts and suggestions, and we'll continue to try and do so. And then they suggested three things to do next. Assign a core group to work on the curriculum, and that core group has been assembled and has been meeting and working, meeting about every other week since the first of the year up until this point. Pick 150 events or accounts to cover in the Bible. So that would be 52 weeks a year minus 2 for meetings. That gives us 50 events each year. And then start building a 5-day-a-week reading program for the 150 events. We are off to a great start on meeting those objectives and going forward. We have divided the Bible into 150 lessons. You can find that starting on page 2 of your handout. Going through page 6 on your handout, you can see how those 150 lessons are divided by quarter into 3 years. That's what the elders suggested, and that core group concurred that that would be a good way to cover everything or as much as we could, while at the same time having that wide view and not losing the forest for the trees, if you want to put it in those terms. And so you can go over those divisions on your own time, but those are there for your reference. Obviously, some things have to be left out when you're trying to cover everything in 150 events. And that's the trade-off to make this where we can cover it in a short enough time to keep the overall picture. In the younger grades, where classes meet on both Sunday and Wednesday night, sometimes the teacher has the opportunity to supplement with some other events and stories from the Bible that are not found in these 150. In the older classes, Wednesday nights will be used to supplement with topical studies. And sometimes those topical studies will correlate with what's being studied on Sunday morning. At other times, they will just be topical things that are going on in the lives of our young people. But from a broader perspective, the elders made clear, and I concur, it is not the church's responsibility to teach my children everything they need to know about God in the Bible. That is the responsibility of parents, specifically fathers, to raise their children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Discipline and instruction, when done right, takes time, doesn't it? Let me illustrate it this way. I'm hoping this works. I put some time into this. Let's say that this one dot is representative of 1 minute. So one dot per minute. So that would mean that all of these dots make up 1,000 minutes. Now, if your child is in the public school system in Texas, and I probably should have checked with Ken Vaughn before I put this up here. I know this is the way it was last year. I think it's the same way this year. How many minutes do they spend at school over the course of the school year? 75,600 minutes are spent on the instruction of our children who are in the public school system, the instruction on secular physical things, English and writing and math and all of those sorts of things, 75,600 minutes. That's how many dots are on there. It took me 3 days to count all those. How many minutes, if your child comes to Bible class every single time, every Sunday morning, every Wednesday night, they don't miss a single one through the entire year. I'll even give you the gospel meetings when they come in here for the Bible classes. If they don't miss a single Bible class, including over the summer and vacations and everything else, how many minutes do they spend in Bible class? See that right down there? That's 4,160 minutes. It's a big difference, isn't it? The instruction of our children in spiritual things takes time. A lot more time than just what can be devoted in Bible class. I want us to get two things out of that illustration. I give you that comparison for these two reasons. Number one, church Bible classes cannot do this alone. As parents, we must be teaching our children the Word of God. But secondly, 4,160 minutes is nothing to sneeze at. That's a large chunk of time. And what an opportunity we have in those 4,160 minutes. We don't need to be wasting a single minute of the time that we have. And the elders want this church, us, and our Bible teaching program to be a resource and to help you outside of those 4,160 minutes as well. So with that in mind, this plan for this curriculum is for it to be a multi-layered curriculum. It is not just a lesson that we are doing for Sunday and that's it, but something that families can take and use to help them with their personal and home reading, study, and teaching that they do in that environment. So if you turn to page 7 of the handout, this is what we'll go over for the rest of the lesson this evening. Here are some features that we have in mind for this curriculum. This is a great undertaking, but like any great undertaking, it will be worth it if we're willing to put in the time and the effort to make it everything that it can be. So here are some features that we want included. Number one, achievable 5 days a week readings that correspond with the Sunday classes. If you see there on the handout, you have 6 weeks. There's an example of what 6 weeks would look like of those 5 day a week readings. Now, the entire first quarter of the curriculum is done in regard to these readings, and then the rest of the quarters are still to be done. The goal was to keep it at 26 verses or less, and often it is much less than 26 verses. Obviously, there are some things that are going to have to be skipped if that is going to be the case to keep up with the curriculum. And you, as parents, have the opportunity to use that in whatever way you see best. And so there's the example of the first 6 weeks and what that might look like with the story and then maybe some supplemental readings that come later in the Bible that relate back to that account from the Old Testament. Along with those readings are age-appropriate questions for each day's reading. As parents, obviously, we need to get into the habit of asking good questions. It's not just reading this and going on, but where do we begin with that? Well, there are going to be some questions, again, age-appropriate questions from each day's reading to help parents in asking some of those things from the reading. When it comes to the curriculum itself, when we get into the classroom, one of the things that the elders really wanted to include, and I think is good, is a timeline. And so we've proposed a moving timeline that we can see the big picture because a timeline is there up on the wall with the major events. But whatever quarter we're on, we focus in on that quarter and then fill in with the other events that come with that so that you can see the big picture and then focus in on where we are so that our children and us as well can get a better idea of the overall plan and where these accounts fit in the Bible story. Along with that is memorization. That includes the warm-up activities that will take place in many of these classes. Facts and names and scripture. General information and trivia, so they have the knowledge base to talk about the application in these classes. And perhaps even some other features that are being worked on in regard to memorization. The table right here to my right is going to be concerned with those early bird activities. We have some people in here who are excellent with those sorts of things and memorization techniques and songs and all of those sorts of things. We'll come back to these tables in a second, but if you're good at that, we want your help with it. If you look there back on page 2 of your handout, there will also be monthly memory verses. And so for the first quarter, in January, it will be Psalm 8, 3 through 9. In February, Genesis 12, 1 through 3. And March, Genesis 50, 18 through 21. So over the course of that month, that memory verse will be worked on that kind of summarizes what's going on in that month and in that quarter. Along with the memorization and the monthly memory verse are age-appropriate points of emphasis and application. If you go back to page 7, I think this is the last time I have you turn. We've divided the classes that will participate in this curriculum. In addition to the adult class, so the adult class will be included, there are 5 other classes, and this is a slight change based on the number of kids that we have at different ages. There will be a 2-year-old through kindergarten class, and the point of emphasis and application for that age group will be, "Our God is an awesome God." We want our kids to know that and be assured of that at an early age, that our God is so big and so wonderful and so holy and so powerful. In first and second grade, God has a plan. He always has a plan. And He has implemented that plan and His promises. In third through fifth grade, God is the hero of every story. That God ultimately is the one who is working And God is good at all of these things. So for those three age groups, the curriculum at those levels is really event-focused. What happened and why? But then for the next two age groups, junior high and high school, it is going to be more application-focused. So what? Well, this is what happened. This is why it happened. But what does that mean to me? How does this fit into the rest of the Bible story? What do I need to do because of this? And so for junior high, the point of emphasis or application will be Jesus is on every page of the Bible. And for high school, what does this mean in my life? When I walk through those doors, what am I supposed to do with this knowledge and wisdom that I've gained from the Word of God? So that is the plan for what we want to emphasize in each age group. And in order to try and have unity and harmony and all of this go together well, there is a class template for the Bible class writers and teachers to build that continuity. So what we have done, we've divided up the 150 topics. We've put volunteers in charge of each age group. We've developed a template for writing each individual class that builds continuity across the curriculum, but at the same time is adaptable for each age level. We are currently putting together the 5-day-a-week readings, and quarter one is finished. And we are currently putting together the first quarter classes. Some of you have already participated in that, and we thank you for your work in helping us to see where we are and the next steps where we need to go. What does that mean to you? Well, this is a great endeavor. And as a family, this is something that we can and should be doing together. Where we would like to go next with this curriculum is we would like to have the first year's curriculum in place to begin the first quarter of next year. So that's 2020. To do so, we're going to have to divide and conquer as a congregation, as it were, with multiple people working on different quarters at the same time. And these classes have to be completed in time to edit, so teachers can get them with plenty of time to prepare before the new year starts. And let me say this about our teaching program. We have some awesome, wonderful teachers. Amen? If your children have been in these classes, you know what good teachers we have. And our teaching program has always been one of our biggest strengths as a congregation. It is something that when people come in, that they have always commented on. But at the same time, the devil is roaming about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And we want our young people, and all of us for that matter, to be fully equipped by God to resist the devil, to be steadfast in the faith. We want to make sure that all we have done to stand. And with God's blessing, this effort provides us with that opportunity. And we want to make sure at the end of the day, when we stand before God, in regard to our children, we can say, we've done all that we know to do. So we have tables set up before me for each age group. And so we start with the younger over here and work our way to high school over here. There are sheets in front of each table where you can see those things. And then I remind you of the early bird activity table over here as well. And what we are asking you to do is after the amen is said this evening, not just current teachers, but for any of those willing to come up with warm-up activities or write classes if you're willing to do that, or if you're willing to copy or laminate or just help, or if you're just interested in maybe signing up for something and you want to help in some way, we ask you to come and sign up for those things. And we ask you to kind of come down the aisles with the appropriate age group so that we don't all get in a traffic jam, and so we can go through this as quickly and as efficiently as we possibly can. And you might say, you know what? This is a phrase I've not used before, but I think it's a good one. This is not a good season for me, right? This is just not a good time in my life to do this. I've got all these things going on, whatever the case might be. I'm just too busy right now. And that's okay. Come and tell us that. Come and tell us that I'm just too busy right now, but sign up and indicate and say, here's when I'm going to start helping. Here's when I will be available to start and help with this great endeavor that we're seeking to do. We have two more years to write after that first year. And for many of the jobs, laminating and cutting and so forth, we might not even need you for several more months until the classes are actually written. And even if you don't have kids or grandkids here in this congregation, we encourage you as part of this family to be a part of this effort, because we are a family. I was at a gospel meeting not too long ago, and I was talking to a parent. And this parent was lamenting about his daughter and how much time she was spending on her phone and so forth, and some things that they were trying to do to make their relationships less digital in regard to communication, to encourage more face-to-face communication with their teenagers. And I was kind of commiserating with him about all of that. And I told a story about how one time two of our teens were on their phones sitting on the couch at our house, and they were texting back and forth to one another. They were sitting next to one another and texting one another instead of talking. And he said, "Wait a second. You have teenagers? You have teenage kids?" And I thought, well, I guess you could take it that way. And so I laughed to myself, and then I said, "Yes, I have about 50 of them." Not because I'm stepping into the role of the parent, but because I love your kids. And I'm invested in all of our children. And that's what a family does. We invest in one another. Even if you don't have kids or grandkids in this congregation, be a part of this effort. These are all our kids in that sense. We are a family. And so let's serve each other and help each other in this way. Would you pray with me, please? Our great and powerful Father in heaven, you are an awesome God. In your foresight and in your wisdom and in your perfection, you have laid forth your plan. You have implemented that plan in Jesus Christ. You have revealed your word through the Holy Spirit that we might know you and know your will. We pray, Father, that you would bless this congregation, that you would bless us specifically in this effort to instruct our children in your way, that they might be equipped for every good work. We pray, Father, that you would be with all those who are involved in this endeavor, that you will give us strength and patience and energy, that you will give us wisdom and knowledge, that this might be very beneficial to our kids, and that ultimately when they leave this place, they will have their own faith and their own strength to go out and live as you would have them to live. We pray, Father, for your blessings in all ways, and we pray that your will be done in this and all things. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we always give the opportunity for one who needs to make their life right. Whether you're a Christian and you need to make your life right because of sin in your life, or you need the support of your brothers and sisters in Christ, or if you're not yet a Christian and you need to come to Him, you have that opportunity even this evening, and we invite you to come while together we stand and while we sing.